Brundage Police. School resource officers from across the area are in Montgomery this week for training. The training focuses on three main areas: the function of law enforcement, mentoring students, and guest speaking. It also deals with how to effectively prevent emergencies from happening in schools. And the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office is warning of an ongoing scam. Officials say someone is calling people claiming they have a warrant, they missed a fine, or they missed jury duty, and then asking for money in return. They say these types of scams are on the rise across the country. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACB.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Thursday. Let me bring in a good friend to this show, candidate for U.S. Senate, Congressman Bradley Byrne. Bradley, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Dan, it's always great to be on your show. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, and how about you?
I'm doing very well. Unfortunately, I'm stuck up here in Washington with a bunch of crazy people, but other than that, I'm doing well.
Get the room that's padded so nobody will hurt themselves. Let's start out with, what was your opinion of the Mueller hearing yesterday?
Well, it was a total bust for the Democrats. You know, they were hoping that it was going to be this great television, they could tell this great narrative that would bring to life the 400-page Mueller report. And it turned out to be the worst television in the world. He was not a very good witness. They were not very good people at asking questions. So at the end of the day, I think it was a huge win for the president, a huge win for the country. Now, they're not going to stop. They're going to keep pushing this impeachment thing. But at this point, I think they are only hurting themselves with the average person in America. So while I don't want them to do this, and it's not good for the country that they're doing it, it actually is going to be politically helpful to the president, and I think to Republicans up and down the ticket next year.
I'm in absolute agreement with you. Now, you just came back from the border. Tell me about your trip, and what did you see?
Yeah, we went to El Paso, which is right on the border with Mexico.
Right.
They actually have a sector down there with Customs and Border Patrol. We went on the border, spent a fair amount of time with Customs and Border Patrol agents, also went to an ICE detention center, saw that, had I went to a port of entry with another branch of ICE, and also spent some time with our military commanders down there, because, you know, we have a number of National Guard and active soldiers, including 38 Alabama National Guard soldiers, by the way. And I just got to tell you, what you've been seeing on TV and what you've been hearing from these far-left Democrats that show up down there is not an accurate picture of what's happening. Those Customs and Border Patrol agents are professional law enforcement officers. They behave professionally. They have a very difficult job, and they carry out it as best they can with the little resources we provide them in a very dangerous environment. I saw the ICE detention center. There was nothing inappropriate about it. The dorms that they were keeping these people in were clean. They were air-conditioned. We went to the cafeteria. They showed us how they made the food, what the food was like. We went in their infirmary to see how they take care of the people that have health issues. We did see some children after they had been released from the detention center. They looked very healthy, happy, acting like regular children. And I talked to the soldiers that are there, the generals that are there, just to verify what I saw was accurate from their experience. And they said the same thing. These are very professional people. They're doing their jobs as best they can under the circumstances. And they have a really good working relationship with our military. So what I just said is directly at odds with what you've seen on TV and what these far-left Democrats are saying, and I'm glad I got to see it for myself so I can contradict what they're trying to do.
Why do you think they're explaining things differently than about what they saw compared to what you saw?
They're just trying to stick their finger in President Trump's eye, and that's all it is. Now, there are some of them, by the way, you've heard them say this, who don't want to have any Customs and Border Patrol.
Right.
They don't want to have ICE. They want to have open borders, which is crazy. If you listen to what we heard on Monday in El Paso, you would know that there are a number of these people who are clearly dangerous. They're in criminal syndicates, they're in criminal gangs. Some of them, we have reasons to believe, are terrorists from places like Uzbekistan. And it's dangerous. And so this idea we're going to have open borders is a direct threat to the security of every man, woman, and child in America.
Now, there was a bill that was passed that got aid to for border and for border people. Were you seeing the effects of that money dribbling through the system yet?
Yes. They were, you know, for a long while they didn't have the resources they needed. They're now beginning to get the resources so they can, you know, have full complement of what they need with regard to health care supplies, food, sanitary, basic sanitary stuff. Some of these people have no clothes, so, you know, provide just basic clothing for them. So they're beginning to get that, but the problem is they need a lot more personnel. They particularly need a lot more personnel in Customs and Border Patrol so that they can more adequately patrol the border. ICE needs more facilities so they can more safely house the number of people that they're housing. But I did see it. We talked to them about it. They were grateful to get what they're getting. But we've got to keep it going down there, and we've got to change our asylum laws. That's a big part of the problem here.
Is there any possibility of that happening, or do you think the Democrats are going to stay ensconced with this and, as you said, try to put the finger in Donald Trump's eye?
I don't see this Congress there being any change in that. I think you're going to have a different group of people running the House of Representatives.
I'm good with that.
The far left is controlling the Democratic Conference in the House right now. The far left is. And they want to have open borders. So Nancy Pelosi feels like she's the person in the middle, quote unquote, because she won't give them open borders, but she'll give them everything else, which in a lot of cases is the same thing as open borders. So no, it's not going to get changed, this Congress. We got to have a new majority in the House.
One more question on the border. Did you go to the border and look at illegal crossings happening?
Yes.
Tell me what it looked like.
Well, it was a young man, and it looked like a young girl, you know, 7, 8, 9. They drove up on the Mexican side. It looked like an Uber driver just let them out. They ran across. I mean, this is what it looks like. They ran across. There was no wall or anything there, so they could just run across the line. Customs and Border Patrol saw them, so I'm sure they ultimately apprehended them. But most of these people want to be apprehended. They want to surrender, declare asylum, get a court hearing date, and then be released into the American public, never to be seen again.
That's amazing. And particularly Uber car driver. I like the way that looks. Let's talk about defense and your position in the committee. Tell me what you're learning about our situation in Iraq, or dealing with Iran, rather. Do you see that we are prepared and we're protecting our troops over there? Do you feel good about that?
Well, it's hard to feel good about the situation in Iran, so I don't want to say that. But I think we are taking appropriate measures, both to protect our troops that are already there, but also to protect our American interests that are directly impacted by what Iran's doing. What's happening is the president, you know, took us out of that Iran deal, and the sanctions are crippling the Iranian economy. And the Iranian officials, the hardliners, don't have any way to push back other than to use violence. You know, they've captured this British ship against international law. We know that they were involved in trying to sink these two other ships a few weeks ago. And they have done other things that I can't tell you about because I know it from classified briefings. They've done other things that are direct threats to American people, American troops in the Middle East. So I think what we're doing to respond to that is appropriate. But it's a day-to-day situation, Dan. The way things are evolving down there, something could happen this afternoon. And it's very tense, very tight. But the rest of the world is seeing Iran for what it is. And we're not anymore under this illusion that we were under, or delusion that we were under, that somehow signing that deal changed Iran's behavior. It hadn't changed their behavior at all.
North Korea fired two missiles yesterday. How do you feel about what's going on with North Korea? Do you think that they are getting the message? Are they sending us a message by firing those two missiles off?
Well, they're angry because we're starting once again to have these military maneuvers with South Korean forces. You know, we suspended that, and the president, I think, was right to do that to try to entice the North Koreans into more negotiations. The negotiations apparently have stalled, and so we've gone back to our maneuvers with the South Koreans. Obviously, North Korea doesn't like that, and I guess they think by shooting off whatever these missiles were, projectiles, wherever they were, would somehow be a message to us. If it is, it's not a very effective message.
We got a report at the first of this week that said that ISIS is moving back into Iraq. Do you see us having to put more troops in there, or do you think that what we have taught the Iraqi regulars will be able to handle ISIS?
I think right now I don't think we need to put more troops in there. These are not, remember, ISIS, when it first came into all of our understanding, they were a large-scale, like, terrorist army taking cities and whole regions at a time. That ISIS can't do that anymore. These are individual ISIS terrorist soldiers who are going to try to become essentially terrorists on their own, maybe working in small groups or one by one. So they are a threat to the Iraqi stability, but that's something the Iraqi army and the Iraqi internal security forces need to deal with. I don't think it's going to require us, the United States, to do any more with our own troops.
And looking at the kind of the world, the global situation, Turkey is now going to be buying surface-to-air missiles from Russia, and that's in direct conflict with our F-35 program. Do you think the president's doing the right thing with that? Do you think we should pull the F-35s? Do you think Turkey should remain in NATO?
Well, I think the president's done the right thing, and I've never, until this point, questioned whether we should keep Turkey in NATO, but this has caused me to question that very thing. Look, when we interact with another foreign military, particularly with sensitive equipment like an F-35, there's a lot of very sensitive hardware and software involved, and we can't allow that to get in the hands of somebody that's going to share that with the Russians, who, by the way, are sharing everything with the Chinese. So the Turks are proving themselves to be not very good allies. And at some point, you got to say, this alliance is not working. It's time for us to face reality. And you know, people say that pushes Turkey into the hands of Iran, the hands of Russia. I'm beginning to wonder if they're not already in the hands of Iran and the hands of Russia, because they're certainly acting like they are, and they're certainly not acting like they're our ally right now.
The U.S. were to respond to Iran and something that Iran did directly with us, do you think that that will be U.S. going it alone, or do you think we'll be able to bring in other people, for example, U.K., into that process?
Well, it depends upon the circumstances, obviously, but U.K. right now has some real concerns because they have one of their merchant ships that's been hijacked, in essence.
Right.
And I think everybody in Europe is now very nervous about what the situation is going to continue to be going forward there in the Gulf of Oman and Straits of Hormuz. And I'm concerned about it. By the way, China has a lot to lose here, too. They get a lot of oil out of that area. And so if you disrupt the Straits of Hormuz, it would disrupt a major source of their energy. So I would think that other people would see this for what it is, which is direct provocations by Iran because of what's happened to their economy. But, you know, we just got a new prime minister in the U.K., and there's a lot of sort of instability in their government right now. I don't know what sort of ability they're going to have to respond to something like this.
You guys recently passed a raising of the debt ceiling that took us into 2021. Tell me how you feel about that, and do you think it was the only thing we could do, or is the thing we had to do?
No, we have not voted on it yet.
Oh, okay. I thought it had already gone.
No, the president proposed it or reached a deal with the leadership, Republican and Democrat, in both houses. And it's supposed to be on the floor this evening. I don't feel good about it. It's an unlimited increase in the debt ceiling, only limited by the amount of time that it goes on. And you can run up a lot of debt during that period of time. And the way we're going, we are all going to run up a lot of debt. I don't think that the deal that we got is good enough for us to be able to say to ourselves, hey, we've gotten ourselves on the right road to start to repair this debt situation. On the other hand, the president got some things in it that are important. We've got some important funding in there, continued funding for 2 years for our military as we turned around our disinvestment there. They've kept out all these crazy left-wing policy things they try to add into bills like that. And I think the president did a good job of making sure that this is not something that's going to be in the middle of our presidential election next year, because we'll try to blow up that way. What I'm struggling with, whether all that's enough for me to overcome my pretty grave concerns about what it does to the debt.
Anything for us to look out for the next 36 hours before everybody leaves town?
Well, that's the big thing. I think the vote tonight, if it happens tonight, you know, we're not in control of the House. So sometimes they say we're going to vote on something, then you get there and find out we're not. But they say we're going to be voting on that tonight, and I think that's the big thing there. Obviously, we've had some other big votes the last couple of weeks. Some of them have not gone well for Nancy Pelosi. They have major division over there in that Democratic conference.
Are you talking about the impeachment vote in particular?
The impeachment vote.
That was a joke.
Before we left for the 4th, yeah, absolutely. And before we left for the 4th of July break, that money we allocated for the border tore them in pieces. I mean, we had a procedural motion last night that they lost. Just, you know, they had the majority and they just outright lost it, which just shows she's not in control of her group over there, and also shows the pretty deep divisions that they have. And quite frankly, it's in our interest to keep playing those divisions up, because that weakens them and puts us in a position, a more likely position, to be able to block some of the stuff that they're doing.
Will there be any type of hearings done over the August break? Because I heard that the Democrats were talking about keeping this impeachment language kind of going even during the August break.
Well, they might. I can't tell you what they're going to do, because they don't know from day to day what they're going to do. I mean, I wake up every day and talk to my Democratic friends and say, well, what are y'all up to now? And they'll shrug their heads and say, we don't know. That shows you just how, you know, divided and confused they are over there. So anything's possible.
Well,
Go
ahead.
I do wish, and I signed a letter today to the Speaker, I do wish we would stay and not break for August until we get something resolved about the border, because I think that situation is indeed a crisis.
Well, I told Seth I'd be respectful of your time. I understand you may be back home next month, and so I hope you'll come drop in and visit with us.
We absolutely will, Dan. I love being on your show.
Well, do this. Tell the squad hi for me, okay?
I will. They don't talk to me much, just so you'll know. I don't have a lot of conversations with them.
Bradley, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you.
All right.
Take care.
Good to be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bradley Byrne, Congressman, Mobile area, giving us an update of what's going on in Washington. I'm stuck up here with a bunch of nuts. I like that. Well said, Bradley. Going to be back. Dan Moore Show right after this.
The Dan Moore Show.
Get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Oh, man, piece of junk!
Blair, what are you fussing about?
I'm trying to crank this, a piece of junk.
Here, try this.
Man, what brand is this?
It's a Steel, the number one selling brand in America.
Wow, this looks great. Where can I get it? Home Depot? Lowe's? Huh?
Neither. You can't buy a Steel there, but you can buy one at my store, CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
Oh, man, I bet this thing costs a fortune.
Shoot, this month I've got Steel blowers on sale for only $149, chainsaws for only $179, and just in time for grass cutting season, we've dropped the price on Steel grass trimmers to only $129.
Man, you gotta be kidding. That's about what I paid from the home store for this piece of junk. Now, what I do, though, if it breaks? Let me guess. You ship it off, it'll take 6 weeks.
No, look, some Steel components have a lifetime warranty, but if it does break, I got the parts and service departments on site. Man, we service what we sell. And check this out. With our exclusive Advantage plan, if your Steel does break, we may fix it for free, give you a new one, or at least have it repaired within 1 week.
Get out of here. From now on, anytime I need anything having to do with lawn equipment, I'm going to come to see you at CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
Hi, this is Jan from Jan's Beach House. We opened 6 years ago and have always used Blue Water Broadcasting for our advertising. Rick and his staff are the best, and they're so easy to work with. Their advertising works.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are on a Thursday.
Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I kiss you bad night.
I want to thank Congressman Bradley Byrne for calling in, spending a little time with us. It was always a good interview. We covered a lot of subjects with him in a very, very, very short period of time. Okay, let's get into some other things. Lindsey Graham was with Sean Hannity, and he's going to be talking about the Mueller report in name only. And notice the theme here is that everybody's kind of catching on that Mueller didn't really do that. That means a lot. That means, in knowing what we know about some people trying to approach Mueller, that's starting to make a lot more sense.
Yes.
When you take that into consideration, the whole thing kind of makes sense. And the way some of the stuff was being leaked, that, you remember there was the leaked story about he's being investigated for obstruction and how Trump reacted. I think they were trying to get a reaction out of that.
Well, and just to reiterate to folks, you brought inside information, let's say, that given Mueller's performance yesterday, and it seems like he really seems to be taken advantage of, had been taken advantage of with this report and by his team, that there are going to be, let's say, some big wigs from both sides of the aisle that are going to go talk to Bob.
Yeah, people that Mueller knows, and, you know, former attorney general type friends, people that he knows, I think they're going to try to talk to him and say, you know, Bob, were they kind of taking advantage of you? And he could say, no, I was running the whole thing. I did everything. They go, oh, that's fine. Hmm. I think they're trying to get him a exit ramp here. And I think that would be a pretty big one. But the better angel side of Mueller. Mueller is supposed to be a very classy guy.
Yeah.
And I think if they can convince him that, yes, they were taking advantage of him, and it was bad for him, bad for the country, I think Mueller, from what I'm being told, Mueller's the kind of guy that would possibly respond to that. I don't know if anything's going to happen to it, but if it happens, that's going to be big. So let's go to Lindsey Graham talking about Mueller's report, well, in name only.
Earlier today, Senator Lindsey Graham issued a statement, read, quote, after today's hearing and for the good of the country, I hope this is the end of the Mueller report. Now it's time to find out how this debacle started and went so far. Senator Graham joins us now. Your question I always go back to. You asked Attorney General Barr, you confident Mueller had everything he needed to get the job done, the time? No, president never invoked executive privilege once. One and a half million documents. Everybody was accessible. My question is, does Hillary get away with a fixed investigation when she committed crimes? Do the people involved in lying to a FISA court consciously, do they get away with it? That people that tried to influence a presidential election get away with it, and people that tried to undo that election get away with it, Senator? Or are you going to make sure that doesn't happen?
I'm more determined today after this hearing to get to the bottom of it. The question, did Hillary get let off because the people investigating her wanted her to win and Trump to lose, was the reason that she wasn't prosecuted is because of a political decision, political motivations. All of the things are very important. The one thing I can tell you after today, the Mueller report is in name only. And the idea that you say
is
I couldn't
exonerate. Is it the Weissman report?
We'll see. But it clearly wasn't the Mueller report.
Hear how
it's
you
just
answer
a
that?
Name. I had more to do with the Mueller report than probably he did. And you know what bothers me a lot? People around Bob Mueller knew he was in a weakened state. This guy served in Vietnam, got wounded, done a lot of great things for the country. He should not have been called.
That he was in a weakened state. Did you hear Sean say the Weissman report? Mm. And then Lindsey Graham says, well, maybe. And the way you answer that tells me that that's kind of an area they may be going to. Papa B, hang on. Going to a break. Coming back to you right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
To liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The best things in life are free.
Hi, folks. Rusty here. And everybody knows that the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest is on every weekday evening at 7 right here on News Talk 93.1. The show can also be heard Saturday mornings at 8:30 and Sunday afternoons at 1. We're also on television. The Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest is on ABC 32 Saturday evenings at 5 right before the national news. David is very excited. You'll be excited too because David's right there in living color telling you some good news about your money. If you're the kind of person who likes to plan ahead, you should call David Ernest today at 334-279-7431. Let David show you how to put your money to work so when retirement rolls around, you don't have to worry. Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show Saturday evenings at 5 on ABC 32. Oh, he's still excited.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feel so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Fox News, I'm Del Walter. 16 Marines under arrest. Picked up this morning during formation at Camp Pendleton on charges ranging from human smuggling to drug offenses, NCIS conducting the investigation. It comes on the same day that the new Pentagon chief took over.
Mr. President, thank you, sir, for your confidence in me and for this incredible opportunity. It is an honor of a lifetime to be appointed Secretary of Defense and to lead the greatest military in history.
Newly confirmed Defense Secretary Mark Esper, the President and Vice President on hand. On Capitol Hill, it's the day after the testimony of former Special Counsel Robert Mueller.
I hope yesterday was a historic day. I hope the failure of what they saw, what they thought they would actually try, is the final chapter of this book that they have put us through the American public on this Mueller investigation.
Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Democrats heading to court to enforce subpoenas, compelling White House staff to testify. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
This nice little heat and humidity break is not going to last long, so enjoy it while it's here. Today, sunshine, another very tolerable humidity day with a high temperature in the upper 80s. Clear skies, comfortably cool tonight. Not quite as cool as last night, but overnight low 68. Tomorrow's high around 90. Sunshine will be dominant. A little bit more humidity towards evening, I think. And then Saturday and Sunday, pretty much we're back to normal. Hot and humid, highs in the lower 90s, spotty random storms here and there over the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Prime South Bank is here to give you more bang for your buck. You'll find the conveniences of digital tools, plus more ways to stretch your dollar than those big national banks. It's a great way to enjoy prime living. Visit them in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Time was drifting, this rocket got to roll.
2729228, is where we are. Pardon me.
Restless feeling, really got a hold.
Let's go to the guy that will go and praise a piece of property or house anywhere for the right amount of money, the one and only Papa B. Papa B, welcome aboard.
Hey, Dan and Joey.
How are you?
Really, I'm doing good. It's almost fall-like weather here all of a sudden.
I tell you, this morning was I went outside, I put the TV out there, had my cup of coffee, blew off the deck. It was spectacular. I had the fountain going on in the background, and I won't say it was cold, but it was refreshing.
Very nice. It's very nice. And, before I say anything about this Mueller thing, I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind, let me set the record straight about something.
Sure.
You have been, and you know, you probably don't remember this, but more than once you made a comment when we talked about me and appraisals. Does that mean you can be bought? I want to just make sure that anybody understands that if somebody wants to pay me a fee to go do a fair and credible report, I will be happy to do that.
Well, I didn't mean to imply. I did not mean to imply that. What I was implying is that you would be willing to go anywhere for the right amount of money.
That's right. So anyway, I only about half buy into the idea that Mueller is a bumbling kind of. I wouldn't say fool, but a bumbling idiot, okay? And the reason is because he was quite lucid and seemed energized when he was answering the Democrats' questions. But when it came to hard questions, things like, you know, that were being asked of him by the Republicans, well, all of a sudden he didn't know anything. That's not my purview, or that's under investigation. He just really, or he just plain didn't know, you know. So I only half buy into the idea that he's just, you know, fumbling and, you know, mentally incapacitated. What do you think about that? Do you think that he was...
I think he was an equal opportunity messer-upper. I think the more complicated the questions got, which were Republican questions, then it got harder on him. But he several times, when Democrats would ask him a question, he would say, "Can you repeat the question again?" And like they had just finished.
Yeah. Well, the report absolutely got destroyed many, many times by the Republicans, and he was not able to come up with a real answer, you know, that was satisfactory. And, you know, more of this... investigation from Barr, I think, is going to reveal a lot more to it. I think that the Democrats, and especially the deep state operatives that are, shall we say, involved here, they had to win this. That's the reason they were so zealous about it, is because their butts are on the line, and they have to at least have, you know, the fog of war surrounding them. If nothing else, but they're totally exposed now, Dan. I believe they're just completely exposed, and some hammers are about to drop on them.
Whoa.
Feel that way too? Do you feel that way too, or no?
Yeah, I think the IG report and the Durham report, I think those things are... I think the IG report, because people are cooperating and they're getting more information, I think that's probably going to be taking place somewhere at the end of August, 1st of September, and I think it's going to knock them off the rails.
Yeah, I think so too. And do you think that there are actual, you know, elected officials that are embroiled in the, you know, deep state operation here too, or is it just limited to the bureaucratic end of the state?
That's a great question, and here's kind of my sense of it, is I think elected officials, with the exception of one that may have been elected to the highest office in the land and the second highest office in the land, I think there was willful knowledge among some elected officials, i.e. senators and congressmen. I think that manipulation and being involved in it is very limited.
So they just kind of, threw the steak out there to the dogs and let them chew on it a while, type thing.
Well, there wasn't a real need. There wasn't a real need to let too many people know about this, with one exception, is that they needed some type of plausible deniability. And, for example, Brennan... briefing Harry Reid about the Trump dossier.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay. A willful knowledge type deal. Now, if you remember, he kind of, on the floor of the Senate, kind of implied about the existence of a document that was out there that was very damning to Donald Trump. That came from
a
briefing from Brennan.
Yeah, I remember that. I sure do. Well,
and also remember, John McCain is the one that took the dossier to the FBI to make them aware of it, and they kind of went, "Well, we already knew about this."
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I believe that John McCain, you know, was a never Trumper, and he would do anything he could to help that end of the cause. But in that instance, maybe he was just, you know, kind of a, you know, a gopher kind of thing, you know, somebody that just, you know, a willing but, you know, ignorant accomplice, somebody that they could feed the report to so that a senator could bring it to them and lend more credibility
exactly
to their, to their forays there, in particular, the spying on Trump. And so, you know, this is what really stood out to me, is that Mueller and his team limited the scope of their investigation to Donald Trump.
Right.
And any Donald Trump associates. Anything outside of that, they did not, they just shoved that off to the side, either didn't investigate or sent it off to somebody else to investigate, probably, you know, the former.
And there's a reason for that, and that is some of the people that were in the investigation were the people that were doing the deep state stuff. Peter Strzok being one, Lisa Page being another, Andrew McKay being another. I think these guys were going to go, you know, don't look over here. Don't look in this closet. Only look in that closet over there.
Do you think that Mueller is just that stupid, honestly?
I do. I have a very clear sense from talking to people who know him, from watching it. And I said on the show before the hearing, I looked at some videotape of him during the press conference and then looked at him in the 2012-2014 hearing that he did. And it was two completely different men. And I think that the question is, did he get chosen because he was a little senile? That one, and that's Rosenstein, if it did that, but where did Rosenstein get the idea from? Did he get it from Andrew McCabe? And was Andrew McCabe kind of go, oh yeah, okay, we'll get a senile Mueller here who's highly respected, nobody's going to question him, and then we'll put our team in there to try to go get this thing and go break rocks. I mean, I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Try to get credibility of Mueller in order to carry out, you know, all of the stuff they want to do in the investigation. And McCabe is only one of them. I'm telling you what, Andrew Weissman.
Weissman?
The whole guy.
Weissman was the guy hiring all the attorneys, along with the chief of staff, who was the guy who basically was the legal counsel for the guy who did the bleach bit on Hillary Clinton's server.
It's just so unbelievable.
I know. If you take it that was the plan all along and we're just going through the plan, it all makes sense. It all makes complete, absolute sense.
Yeah. And they limited all of this basically to just themselves. They did not rely on the whole, you know, department or the whole FBI or others in the FBI. This was an operation that they kind of kept basically all...
Oh, yeah. It was a very tight-knit circle that did it. And when you're asking about people, you know, I was saying people being complicit, I think they were feeding information to the Democrats, you know, this is what you guys can set up for impeachment, and we're going to come up with the goods for you. I think that's why they were so certain about it.
That was the objective all along.
Yep.
To either keep Trump from being elected, or once he was elected, to get him out just as quick as possible.
The insurance policy.
Whatever means necessary.
The insurance policy.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, I'm telling you, Dan, you're right about one thing here. That is, well, you're right about a lot of things, but you're right about this, that if the FBI, if the DOJ does not prosecute some of these bad actors and put them in jail, hold them totally accountable, they will not be trusted. They will never be trusted again. And I hope they understand that.
I think Bill Barr absolutely understands that, and I think that's why he is so tenacious on this subject.
I believe you're right, and I hope you're right. I hope that it happens. Justice. I've heard it said, Dan, that a lie makes it halfway across the world before the truth gets up in the morning.
Yeah.
But I would say this, too. Once the truth does get up and get going, it can be a hard hammer that falls. And so I hope that hammer does fall down on them. They are so deserving of it, this whole cabal here. So anyway, well, let me get about to my Lake Martin looking at houses here.
Oh, man. Tough duty, buddy. Tough duty.
It is. It is. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Papa B. Appreciate you. Red Tribe dropped off. Big John dropped off. Everybody's dropping off there. I hate it when that happens. Sorry about that for being long-winded.
We still got Lindsey Graham.
We got Lindsey Graham. Lindsey's becoming... I like Lindsey
I
now.
Made you say it like me.
I know. I'm starting to like Lindsey now. Okay, Mueller didn't write the report. Underlings did. Listen to Lindsey Graham.
Senator, let me agree with you. When the Attorney General agreed to the joint statement... Attorney General, I said at the time, he did the favor to Bob Mueller. The Attorney General was warning this is going to be a spectacle. Seems like the only person that understood and tried to prevent it was the one that was being accused of trying to rig it, was the Attorney General knew that this would be a disaster for Mueller. And you're right. His background is one of a hero. The people that allowed this, that used him, the politicians on that committee, and the people on that... On that group that hired and did all this, and he knew nothing and ran the show without him, they're the ones that did this to his reputation.
The hatred for Trump knows no boundaries. They used this man, and one of the reasons I told people early on I was not going to call Mueller is because the report speaks for itself, but I was told by people close to Bob Mueller that he really shouldn't have to go through this. Well, here's the point. I've been asked for 3 months, why don't you want to call Mueller? I bet you nobody will ask me that tomorrow. A letter was sent to me by every Democrat on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. Why don't you call Mueller? Nobody's going to ask me that tomorrow. Here's what I can say. Donald Trump is stronger tonight than any time in his presidency. The need to find out what happened is greater today than it was before. It's clear that Bob Mueller was not in charge of this investigation. And like every American who cares about the rule of law, we need to find out how this started and
Senator,
why it went on so long.
On the last piece of Lindsey Graham, Sean Hannity just cannot shut up. Lindsey Graham is actually trying to say something very important, and Sean Hannity wants to get his 2 cents worth in there so much he steps on him. Listen in.
We need the Senator Graham that changed the course of the Kavanaugh hearing to take control of this. Your country needs you. This is important. This republic came dangerously close to allowing lies and conspiracy theories. Few powerful people unseat a duly elected president. Your country needs you. That's just a fact.
Well, their time is coming. The president's gone through hell for 2.5 years, and nobody else could have taken it but him.
I know.
He's stronger today. I don't see how he did it. They're trying to ruin his family's life, and he's tough as nails. But those who engaged in the FISA court abuse, and I think fraud, is their time, and the only way you'll ever stop this in the future is to make people
your
pay
committee
price.
Is going to be crucial, Senator.
Stay tuned.
I know you'll... I believe you.
See, he's trying to say the only way we're going to stop this in the future is by basically getting this out now. And that's when the head of judiciary says that, and you have Bill Barr saying what he's saying, you have all the top players that are there, and they're all saying the same thing. That's important. But Sean would just not shut up. I wish he would just kind of go away sometimes when he's doing this stuff. Drives me crazy. Let me do this. Let me go to a break. Final segment. Dan Moore Show. Be back right after this.
The road and made my getaway. Restless feeling.
Your News Talk place to be, the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Looking for a sign in the middle of the night, but I couldn't see the light. No, I couldn't see the light. I kept on looking for a way to take me through the night. Couldn't get it right. Couldn't get it right. Belly fever. So deep.
the biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is the economy is on the up and up, but the bad news is your adjustable rate is on its way up too. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and if you currently have an adjustable rate mortgage, listen up. An adjustable rate mortgage provides you with a lower rate and payment at the start, but it fluctuates each adjustment period based on financial reports. The better the economy, the better the financial reports, the higher your adjustable rate. Your low monthly payment could skyrocket overnight. Don't be caught off guard. By refinancing to a fixed rate with Alabama Home Mortgage, you can go to sleep with the peace of mind that your rate will not change, no matter the state of the economy. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get the peace of mind of a fixed rate Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Ah, yes. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on 8:30. Well, getting to some of these other clips here. From under Dan Black Studios, you have Betamax, VHS, any type of magnetic tapes that need to be transferred over to digital, audio magnetic tapes, or video. You can get that done with Dan Black Studios at a reasonable price. Get ready for his telephone. I'm about to give it to you. But, you know, the machine you played them on probably doesn't even work anymore. I know. I gave up on my Betamax that I had a long time ago. And you can get them converted by Dan Black and Dan Black Studio. Put them on a DVD and or do that plus get it put on a digital format like a jump drive, and then you can put it up on the cloud, and then you're going to keep it forever. So get ready to copy down this telephone number, Dan Black Studios, my good friend Dan Black, 334-676-1734, 676-1734, Dan Black, Dan Black Studios. Do something for me. When you talk to him, say, what's the Dan Morris Show special today? He'll give you a shot at it. He'll let you know. It's going to save you some money. Sean Hannity had Nunes and Jordan and Getz from Pensacola area. Let's start out. I don't think we can fit all these in, but let's start out with Nunes talking about the hearing.
I'll get your general impressions and where do we go from here, because there really was a whole other story that I am shocked Robert Mueller apparently knew nothing about Devin Nunes.
Well, if you go through and you look at all the questions that the House Intelligence Committee members asked, of course there was no collusion. Of course there was no obstruction. Doug Collins and Judiciary Committee and Jim Jordan did a great job with that. But what we asked were very specific questions about the origin of the investigation, the Steele dossier, all things that you've been covering for years. And I think we were a little taken back that not only would Mr. Mueller not answer, he seemed to not know at times questions.
Devin, I'm going to tell you something. He's either not watching the show or he's not remembering it, because you're right.
But not only that, he also must not have read any of the documentation about how this investigation began. I mean, to not know or want to talk about Joseph Mifsud was really baffling to me.
And the reason he didn't want to talk about it is because his staff didn't tell him about it. And the reason staff didn't want to talk about it, he didn't want that out there. It would be really interesting to see if there's any type of email traffic in between these guys and what they did with it. Let's stay with Sean Hannity and talking to Jim Jordan on the double set of standards and on lying to the FBI.
I watched you today, and you really hit a very important nerve here. And I want you to explain to people the significance of where you went.
The guy who started it all lies three times to the FBI on February 10th, 2017, and they don't charge him with anything. They don't go find him and get a second interview. But anyone associated with the Trump campaign who gave a false statement gets charged with a crime, and 13 Russians no one's ever heard of get charged with a crime. This, the guy who puts it all in motion lies to you, and you don't do a darn thing. So that, to me, all this today in my mind underscored something that you've been talking about, Devin's been talking about, Matt Olive's been talking about. All of it underscored why the investigation, Bill Barr, John Durham, and also Michael Horowitz's investigation are so darn important, because those go to the heart of this when it all started in 2016.
So that was Jim Jordan saying it all goes to the heart of it. And that's why he was asking those questions. Why did you treat Flynn and Manafort different than Misfit, for example? So now we're going to move on to guests. Now I want to tell you something. This guy's a little more loaded for bear. And Mueller did know his report, and he didn't write it.
Matt Gaetz, I thought you had a great line of questioning yourself today, but what we're really learning is if but for the Freedom Caucus and a very few that decided to inform themselves and kept digging and digging and digging and doing hard work behind the scenes in these closed-door interviews, you, Mark, Devin, and Jim, we wouldn't be here today. We learned a lot in those closed-door sessions and how hard you all were working when nobody was looking.
Well, thank you, Sean. I'm reminded that just yesterday, Adam Schiff said that Robert Mueller would breathe life into the Mueller report today. And instead, what we saw was Robert Mueller suck the life out of the impeachment movement altogether. It is dead and over. I suspect that you'll see even more Americans reject this really terrible distraction for the country. We also had to deal with Robert Mueller's evolving purview. And I think this really showed the bias and the double standard. When people who supported Trump lied, he threw the book at him. When people like Christopher Steele, who hated Trump, lied, or when Glenn Simpson was engaging in Russians, Robert Mueller was hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And I don't understand why it's in Robert Mueller's purview to write 3,500 words.
Maybe it's the Weissman report.
He did not write this report, okay? I don't even know how many times he read it. The Fusion GPS issue that you've been citing, Fusion GPS itself is referenced in a story that is in a footnote in the report. So it's very clear Robert Mueller didn't write it, and I don't think he really understood it today.
But they had to get that in there so they could protect themselves. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show today.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Grab your Dell the Great. He's next. Adios.
From the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Cusada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News, I'm Del Walter. Shaken core, 16 Marines.